Okay, yeah, so it's a great pleasure to be here and talk about our work on this spin liquid phase and symmetry protected topology phase. So if you are interested in some details, you can find them in those references. So the main focus of this talk is about the spin liquid phase on Kagami lattice. It is a long-standing problem in this community. That is, if I put the first neighbor Heisenberg interactions on the Kagami lattice, what is the exact nature of the ground state? Yeah. So people have been studying this system, this problem for years, and a very recent breakthrough is made by Hughes and White. They use large-scale DMRG simulations and show that the ground state is a spin-liquid phase. However, there are thousands of different types of spin-liquid phase, and so far we don't know which one is exactly realized in this simple model. So this is the central question that I will try to find an answer in this talk. But I also want to emphasize that even though the Kagami lattice looks a little bit complicated, there are indeed some materials like this Heber-Smithsite that potentially realize this model. And there are many experimental studies on these materials and which suggest that the ground state is a spin liquid phase. So, but in this talk, I won't really go to details of those experiments. I will just focus on the theoretical side. Okay, the second topic that I will try to involve is called symmetry protected topological phase. I guess many of you are actually familiar with this concept. So this symmetry protected topological phase does not require any spontaneous symmetry breaking, but it requires symmetry to protect it. A very famous example is this Heldan spin 1 chain. So, and the defining important properties of this SPD phase is that its bulk is trivial in the sense that I don't have any fractional quasiparticles like what happens in spin liquid or fractional quantum Hall state. But on the edge, there are actually some exotic edge states like this spin 1, this fractionalized spin 1 half excitations on the edge of this higher dense spin chain. And so this, and once you go to higher dimensions, you can get many different types of SPD phase using this cohomology group classification. So this is about the SPD phase. The third topic that I will try to evolve is called deconfined criticality. This is first proposed by Santo and the company. So this generally refers to a type of phase transition that falls beyond Landau's Ginzburg paradigm. That is, you can have a continuous phase transition between two phases that breaks different symmetry, like this nail state, which breaks spin rotation symmetry but has the translational symmetry. And also, and this valence bound solid that breaks translational symmetry but has this spin rotation symmetry. And so now actually with the discovery of SPD phase, we can also have a bunch of deconfined phase transitions that related with this SPD physics. For example, we can ask what's the phase transition between an SPD phase and a featureless motor insulator phase. Because in both two phases, I don't have any symmetry breaking, so if I have a continuous phase transition between them, it is likely to be some sort of deconfined phase transition. So this is the type of deconfined phase transition that I will try to cover in this talk. So the reason that this talk is about spin liquid phase, the reason that I will evolve this SPD phase and the associated deconfined criticality is because those SPD physics can actually help us to understand the spin liquid physics on Kagami lattice. And what helps us to get there is an exact lattice gauge theory of this spin liquid phase on Kagami lattice. So this is the outline of this talk. Now, let me begin with a brief introduction about the spin-liquid phase. As we know, spin-liquid phase does not have any magnetic order or translation of symmetry breaking, even down to zero temperature. But the spin-liquid has more exotic properties. For example, I have this so-called fractionization phenomenon in spin-liquid phase. In general, in spin-liquid phase, I can have one type of excitations called spin-on. It carries spin 1/2 without any charge. And accompanied with those spin-ons, there will be some emergent gauge field. So those are actually the defining properties of a spin-liquid phase. Also, those fractional quasi-particles can have some fractional statistics. So in general, we can refer it as anions. A very interesting property of those spin-liquid phase is that it can be the parent state of a superconductor. That's a very strong motivation for us to study the spin-liquid phase because it might be the mechanism for the high temperature superconductivity in cuprates. So this is the general properties of a spin-liquid phase. Now, let us try to learn some concrete example of the spin-liquid phase. The first spin-liquid phase that I will introduce is called the chiral spin-liquid phase. Such chiral spin-liquid phase has the same topological order as the fractional quantum Hall state for bosons. For example, I can have a chiral spin-liquid phase in which the spin-on has this semionic statistics. That is, if I wind one spin-on around the other, I will get a minus one phase factor. So this type of spin-liquid is a gapped and does not have time reversal symmetry. I can also have some other type of gapped spin-liquid that has time reversal symmetry. For example, I can have this Z2 spin-liquid phase. And in such Z2 spin-liquid phase, beside the spin-on, I also have the other type of excitations called Vison. And the Vison has a non-trivial semionic statistics with the spin-on. Okay, besides those gapped spin-liquid, there also exists some even more exotic spin-liquid phase, which are gapless. A very famous example is called the Dirac spin-liquid phase. One intuitive way to imagine the Dirac spin-liquid phase is that I have the spin-ons which are generically fermionic, and they are forming this gapless Dirac cones. Besides, I also have a U1 gauge field coupled with those Dirac spin-ons. So that's how we can get to the so-called Dirac spin-liquid phase. Okay, so now have learned a little bit about the spin-liquid phase, it's natural to ask, where can we find them? A very great platform to find them is in the frustrated magnetism, particularly this Kagome lattice. So actually, all those three different types of spin-liquid has been proposed as a candidate for this Kagome-Heisen model. And more than that, there are many interesting works that are trying to address this problem and propose some other types of candidates. But so far, it's still unclear about what is really the ground state it is. So now let me try to summarize the current understanding of this system. From both experimental and numerical side, we now find quite convincing evidence that the ground state is a spin-liquid phase. However, we don't actually know the exact properties, like we don't even know whether it is a gapless or gapped spin-liquid phase. On the experimental side, it looks more like a gapless, but a very recent experimental work suggests that there might exist a finite gap. So on the numerical side, particularly the DMRG simulations suggest that the ground state is a gapped, but so it also involves quite subtle technical issues, which So there still might be some room for a gapless spin-liquid phase in the numerical simulations. Okay, and so in this talk, what I'm going to call this type of spin-liquid as the Kagome spin-liquid phase. As I said, in this talk, I will try to find an answer for this Kagome spin-liquid phase. It's worthwhile to think a little bit about how can we solve this system theoretically. So in general, what we want to do is that we will begin with some spin models defined on a Kagome lattice. And at the end of the day, what we hope to get is some the low energy properties of the phases realized in this model. So in general, it is a spin-liquid phase. And I will have some spin-ons coupling with an emergent gauge field. It's not obvious that how can we go from this lattice model to lattice spin model to a theory with gauge emergent gauge field in the continuous limit. So usually what we are going to do is that we will find some intermediate step that I again have the emergent gauge field as well as the spin-ons, but they are not defined in the continuous limit. Instead, they are defined on a lattice. So this is the general step that we can use to solve this spin-liquid problem. Usually what we are doing is that we use the so-called slave particle approach, that you can fractionalize once the spin into two spin-ons and then take some mean field to get this effective lattice gauge model. It's a very interesting method, and it can give you some understanding of many different types of spin-liquid phase. However, on the other hand, it's uncontrolled and it's highly biased. You can have different types of mean field, which gives you different types of spin-liquid phase. And on the general ground, you don't know which one is correct, which one is not. So it's natural to wonder whether we can do something better to get the effective lattice gauge model. And particularly, can we get an exact mapping, exact lattice gauge model of this Kagome spin, Kagome antiferromagnetics? It's not a trivial question to answer. And
what do you mean by exact?
I will show you. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's of course it's difficult to get there, particularly for this Heisenberg type of interactions. We don't know how to do it. You can do some phenomenological field theory like Yuan Wang did, but yeah, it's difficult to get an exact for this Heisenberg type of interactions. So what we are going to do is that we will distort this Hamiltonian a little bit. Also on the experimental side, it's also quite realistic because for real materials, this Heisenberg is not enough to just use the first neighbor Heisenberg Hamiltonian to describe the complicated materials. There are indeed many different types of perturbations. And what I'm going to take is I will consider the XXZ anisotropy, and I will also add further neighbor interactions like second and third neighbor interactions. That is what I'm going to play with. So I replace the first neighbor Heisenberg interactions with the XXZ type. Meanwhile, I add second and third neighbor interactions. Just for simplicity, I will take them as an XY type. Then what the next thing that I will do is I use DMR numerical simulations like DMRG to get the phase diagram of this model. So the horizontal axis denotes the XXZ anisotropy. The vertical axis denotes the magnitude of the second and third neighbor interactions. And for this particular point, that is the Heisenberg point in which the Kagome spin-liquid is realized. Now you can say that actually this Kagome-Smith liquid survives even I go to a very extreme limit, no matter this pure, this Ezeplan limit, where I only have XY interactions without any Eisen interactions, or go to this extreme Eisen limit, where the first neighbor Eisen interactions is infinitely strong, and the XY interactions are infinitesimal. So it's really remarkable that such a spin liquid phase totally ignores the XXZ anisotropy. And what's more interesting is that if I turn on some finite second and third neighbor interactions, I will drive this Kagome spin liquid into a chiral spin liquid phase that breaks the time reversal symmetry spontaneously. And this chiral spin liquid is similar as the Kagome spin liquid. It is totally independent of the XXZ anisotropy. The third interesting point is that the phase transition between the chiral spin liquid and the Kagome spin liquid is likely to be a continuous phase transition. That means if we can understand the chiral spin liquid better, we might have a good chance to finally solve this Kagome spin liquid phase. Yeah?
Don't this limit with J1Z infinite, don't we understand that limit fairly well?
No. It's not understood yet.
Can we just do put away into
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do in the rest of this talk. Yeah.
Okay, so like the diamond model that you get is not very well.
It's not. It's not a diamond model, strictly speaking. It's some sort of doped diamond model. Yeah. It will be clear probably later, yeah. So also on the numerical side, we find that it's quite straightforward to identify the nature of this chiral spin liquid. We can calculate almost everything that you can expect for the chiral spin liquid phase. However, for this Kagome spin liquid phase, so far what we really confirm is that it is a spin liquid phase. So now let me try to give you some brief numerical evidence that we can identify the chiral spin liquid phase. The first thing that we can do is that we can measure the Hall conductance or the Chern number, if you like. We can insert 2π flux in the cylinder. We wrap the system on a cylinder, and then we insert 2π flux. What we can observe is that I'm pumping half spin from the left side to the right side. That tells us that the Hall conductance of the system is 1/2. Okay, the second thing that we can do is we can actually calculate the so-called module matrix, which gives us the full information about the topological order realized in this chiral spin liquid phase. And in particular, I want to emphasize all this can be done is should thank the nice work by Lucas and Guffrey. They told us how to do this using DMRG. It's quite remarkable that to calculate this so-called module matrix, we don't really need to do any data extrapolation or something. Yeah, what we just need to do is to measure the overlap of the wave function, different topological sectors. Okay, so from the module matrix, we can learn a lot about the chiral spin liquid phase. For example, we can know that the fractional statistics of the spin-ons, which is semionic. Okay, now I hope that I have convinced you that a chiral spin liquid is realized in such system. Yeah.
So you see both ground states, is that?
Right. So the way that we can get different topological degenerate ground state is that we can insert 2π flux. Yeah, that's one way. Yeah. Of course, we actually can have some other ways. Yeah. Okay, so now what I'm going to focus in the rest of this talk is that I will focus on this Z-axis limit, and in which we can understand the spin liquid phase better. So, and in particular, specifically, what we can do is that in this limit, we can map the system exactly into a lattice gauge theory. So the general game that we will play is that I have infinitely strong first neighbor Eisen interactions plus infinitesimal perturbations, which can be XY type or some other type. Okay. Now, the first neighbor Eisen interactions will constrain the system to live on an extensive degenerate manifold that fulfills that the magnetization of each triangle will be either plus or minus 1/2. Then this the perturbations will lift this classical degeneracy, and by coherently superposing them, and this how we can get a quantum state. That's probably the whole business of a frustrated magnetism. Okay, now we can actually reformulate this problem in some dual degree freedom. That is, we can define some dual hard-core bosons that lives in the center of those triangles. The way that we define them is following. If the magnetization is minus 1/2, I'm saying that there is no hard-core bosons. If it is plus 1/2, there is one hard-core bosons. You can realize that those hard-core bosons actually lives on a dual honeycomb lattice, and then the honeycomb side are just the center of those triangles. Okay, and this A and B just refer to the AB sublattice of the dual honeycomb lattice, or the equivalent up and down triangles of the Kagome lattice. Okay, now we can then realize that those hard-core bosons are actually spin-ons that carry spin 1/2. The way that we can understand it is that we can consider spin flip operations. And then let's think of it in terms of those hard-core bosons. We can realize that we are actually creating two hard-core bosons, one on this up triangles, the other on this down triangles. So that's nothing but that I'm splitting spin 1 excitations into two spin 1/2 excitations. Okay, and also with more careful we will realize that actually there is a U1 gauge symmetry if I want to represent the system in terms of those spin-ons, so we need to put a gauge field there. Okay, that is how this lattice gauge mapping could work. And for experts, I would say actually there are some other similar system which can also have this exact lattice gauge mapping. That is the quantum dye model or the spin eyes in the particle lattice. However, there is one important difference. That is the effective lattice gauge theory of this Kagome system has U1 gauge field, and also it also has some dynamical bosonic matter. That's those bosonic spin-ons. And those dynamical bosonic spin-ons are essential for the interesting physics realized in the Kagome lattice.
So SPIs is number of diamond, you know, green school every side is fixed.
Right, right.
And now it's not fixed.
It's not fixed. Yeah. Right? So yeah, in some sense it's similar as the doped quantum dye model, if you like. Yeah. And I want to also point out that this lattice gauge mapping is actually first pointed out by an interesting paper of Nick Rich and Stento. And also the importance of the dynamical bosonic spin-outs is also highlighted in their work, although they are not really using this to study the spin-liquid physics.
Okay, yeah. Can you help me understand the counting? I'm trying to count degrees of freedom.
Yeah.
And I don't see the match.
That's why you need to introduce a gauge field. Yes, the spin-out itself does not fully represent the whole Hilbert space.
So the gauge field will include
right, 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 field. Right, exactly, yeah. So now we can use this mapping to get an effective lattice gauge model of this Kagome spin model. And the real important point is that if I consider a spin flip excitations, I'm creating two spin-ons coupled with an emergent gauge field. That's all we need to know. And then with just a few lines of algebra, we can find the effective lattice gauge model. You don't really need to care about the the exact form of this lattice gauge model.
But if we don't have this J2O3 term,
yeah.
So the spin-on, you know, the flare of the spin-on is somewhat conserved, right?
Even you have it, it's still conserved.
Yeah, sure. But these yes. are interaction between the
right, spin-on. Exactly.
And then, you know, without that term, the second term,
it's
hard to reduce the Higgs out the one part of the gauge theory.
I will also come to that. So in our approach, the second and third neighbor interactions is important for our understanding. Probably I can try to comment it later. Okay. Yeah.
Can you say that the electric field corresponding to A corresponds to physical? Is there a simple form?
Sorry, it's kind of noisy outside.
Electric field corresponding to A?
The electric field corresponds to the Z component of spin. That's how you can do it.
Corresponds to Z
component of the spin, physical spin. That's how you can do a lattice gauge mapping.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So it seems that this dynamics term for the gauge field is added by hand. Is that correct?
Well, here
so
we added it by hand, but you know those they are nothing but Maxwell term. So
sure.
Yeah, they will be generated.
I'm just trying to say that
it's
not in the original Hong Kong if you do the exact mapping.
Right. So I would say this coupling constant is, we don't know the exact value of the coupling constant. That's the only unknown part for this lattice gauge mapping. Yeah. But I think for other similar systems like quantum dye model or spin ice, you also don't know the value of this coupling constant. Yeah.
Doesn't it start to supply power being infinite?
I don't think it will be.
Well, the spin cannot be zero, right? It's either plus cup or minus cup. So you don't, if you kind of want to enforce that maybe with kappa?
Yeah, right. You need to put some, so the exact form is that you have some hardcore constraint on this electric field. Yeah, but in some sense, we can argue that it will finally flow to something like this. Yeah. Okay. Now, that we try to summarize what we have done so far. So we have figured out a very concrete lattice gauge Hamiltonian for this spin model that we are interested in. And the next step is that we will try to solve this lattice gauge model to get the low energy properties of the spin liquid phase realized in this original spin model.
Sorry, yeah. I missed exactly in which sense this was exact. So the degrees of freedom are exact in the but the complete interactions
are also exact. But the value of this coupling constant for Maxwell term is not known. Yeah, that's
it's not known, but
yeah, that yeah, right.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I think he didn't put this Lagrange multiplier that imposed the Hilbert space constraint. There is a Hilbert space constraint in there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So can you say what the Hilbert space constraint is?
That is the electric field can only take like 0 or 1. Yeah, that's the constraint.
And that's it. There is no.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And also we have a hardcore boson constraint, like the A and B spin-ons are actually hardcore bosons.
Sure, but I'm confused. You said that E represents the just as Z?
Yes.
So if you specify all the E's, it looks like you specified everything?
Right, that's true.
So why?
The hardcore constraint actually comes from the infinite Ising interactions. Because the 3 plus or minus 3 halves is forbidden. Right? But of course, you can actually solve it. Yeah.
It sounds like once you specify all the E's, you are done. So what are the bosons doing then?
So you mean the constraint for bosons or?
Where he writes S plus as a A dag and B dag.
It carries the gauge charge of the gauge field A and B. They are the electric charge of the gauge field. Okay. So now the next thing we will do is that we will try to solve this lattice gauge model to get the low energy properties. Of course, it's not that easy to do this, and even on the conception level, it's not that trivial how we can get a deconfined spin liquid phase in such framework.
So how is the constraint that it's all up down on each triangle? How is the constraint encoded in the?
It's encoded in the sense that they are half bosons. So you cannot put two bosons here. If you put two bosons on the same side, it corresponds to that the magnetization is 3/2. Yeah, but of course, at the end of the day, you can somehow solve this. That's probably the reason that the spin liquid phase in the easy axis limit survives even you go to Heisenberg or XY type limit.
What is the Gauss law? Is there a
Gauss law? Is that the summation of the electric field equals to the
boson
number of bosons if it's on the center. Yeah.
Maybe that's the constraint. Is that the constraint?
Yeah, that's also the constraint. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So even on the conceptual level, it's not easy to get a deconfined spin liquid phase because, okay, so the general the theory, the structure of the theory is that I have this U1 compact gauge field coupled with this dynamical bosonic spinons. And we know that if I only have U1 compact gauge field, the system will actually have a confinement phase due to the monopole proliferation. As a result, I don't have any spin liquid, I don't have any spinons or emergent gauge field in my energy spectrum. So to get a spin liquid phase, what we need to do is to beat the confinement. And we know that the dynamical bosons can actually help us to beat the confinement. However, following this way, what we have achieved so far is some sort of Z2 spin liquid phase. For example, in triangular quantum dye model, you can realize the Z2 spin liquid phase. But that's all we can have in such framework. So it's natural to ask, can we and how can we go beyond this Z2 spin liquid phase to get some other type of spin liquid phase? To find the answer, it's important to firstly understand why we get stuck with the Z2 spin liquid phase. So in general, we can ask, how can we understand the phases in the lattice gauge model? In the lattice gauge model, what we are dealing with is that we have gauge field interacting with matters. And now we can actually, first we can try to remove the gauge field. And as a result, I only have bosonic matters. And then we can understand the properties of this, the phases that realize in such bosonic matter. And the next step is that I put the gauge field back, and somehow we can have a good idea of the phases realized in such lattice gauge model. And in the, you can also call this process as a so-called gauging a phase into some other phase. Okay, and that's the basic way for us to understand the phases in a lattice gauge model. For example, if I have some super Fourier phase in a system without gauge field, and then I gauge it, what I get is just the Higgs phase. To get the Z2 spin liquid phase, what we need to do is that I'm forming this so-called charge 2 condensation instead of charge 1 condensation, and then I gauge it, I will get the Z2 spin liquid phase because the U1 gauge field is broken down to Z2 due to this charge 2 condensation. Okay, that's why we can get the Z2 spin liquid phase. Okay, now it becomes more clear that why we get stuck of the Z2 spin liquid in the past, because probably the non-trivial thing that we can come up with is just this charge 2 condensation. But nowadays, what we realize is that if I have interactions in bosons, I can form a large class of interesting phases called the symmetry-protected topological phase. And if the system realizes this so-called symmetry-protected topological phase, and then I gauge it, I can get the so-called topological order. And this idea is first introduced by Levin and Gu. And they are using this to distinguish different types of SPD phase. Okay, in this framework, this idea is also quite interesting. And in particular, if I have interacting bosons forming the so-called U1 SPD phase, and after gauging it, I can get the so-called chirospin liquid phase that we found in numerics. Okay, this is a new insight that from the SPD physics. And also, actually, the bosons can also form some other things, such as a deconfined phase transition. And we find that for certain type of deconfined critical point, after gauging, we can actually extend this critical point into a critical phase. And we propose such critical phase is actually the Kagome spin liquid realized in the Kagome Heisen model. Okay, now let me try to elaborate more about those two points and show how it is likely to be true on the microscopic level. Okay, and so I guess I don't need to introduce too much about this SPD phase. We know that it can classified by this so-called cohomology group, which gives you many different types of SPD phase. And among them, a very interesting one is called this, is an SPD phase protected by the U1 charge conservation. And it's actually equivalent to the so-called bosonic integer quantum Hall state. So this is that I have bosons forming a quantized integers quantum Hall state. Okay, and the way that why we, after gauging this bosonic integer quantum Hall state, gets converted into a chirospin liquid is because once I realize a bosonic integer quantum Hall state, for example, with Hall conductance 2, I will produce a level 2 transimons term for the gauge field that couple with those bosons. And if they are dynamical gauge field, that's what we mean by gauging. We can get the chirospin liquid, and this level 2 gives us the topological degeneracy as well as the fractional statistics. And this is why by gauging the U1 SPD phase, you can get, yeah?
So can you repeat what's the relation between SPD protected by U1 charge conservation and the bosonic
integer? It's equivalent, it's just another name of this.
Yeah, right.
So I would say this bosonic integer quantum Hall state is a very physical SPD state compared with other types. It has a very close relation with those that the integer quantum Hall state for fermions and also fractional quantum Hall state. Yeah. Okay. So now let me try to show how microscopically this could work for the spin liquid phase on Kagome lattice. Again, let me remind ourselves that at what stage we are, that now we find a lattice gauge model for this spin model, and now we want to solve it. And the conceptually, what we hope to get is the SPD physics as well as the deconfined criticality in such framework. Okay. Now, this is the lattice gauge model comes from the mapping for the easy-axis Kagome. And as I said, the Kagome physics corresponds to some certain coupling constant, which we actually don't know the exact value. But we know it's just, let's say, it's just lies someplace here. And I can have the spin liquid phase realized in such system. Once I tune the second and third neighbor interactions, I will have a chirospin liquid emerged. Okay, and this vertical axis is the coupling constant. Okay, that's what we have learned from the original spin model. Now we can also look at, so now it's natural to ask, where can we find the physics that I have gauge fluctuation frozen? It's actually quite straightforward. That is, if I put this kappa to zero, which means the dynamics of the gauge field is totally frozen, and this is the physics lies here, that I don't have any dynamical gauge field, and so correspondingly, actually, this is where the SPT phase arises. Okay, and yeah.
Why?
It's just because you have positive sign here.
But that positive sign comes from doing what? Doing
certain other perturbations, like you can go with this. So in general, you can go do the third perturbations for the first neighbor XY interactions. In the original Kagome lattice model, you can get this. So the flux of this term is just the sixth spin flip of the hexagon in the Kagome lattice.
And you're doing it with J1?
Yeah, for J1, yeah.
So if you flip the sign, what happens? I mean, how do you see that you get a
Yeah, so if we flip the sign, it actually corresponds to the ferromagnetic XY interactions.
Right.
And yeah. So
do you see it right away that you immediately condense the
Right. Yeah.
How?
Well, it's actually quite microscopic. So if I have one way to say how to put this? So if I have pi flux in the system, the unit cell is actually enlarged. Yeah. As a result, actually I will have two bosons in one unit cell. That's why we can finally find this integer quantum state for bosons.
So if we just consider X existing model, forget about this J2 and J3.
Yeah.
So if we keep a negative sign for the J1XY.
Yeah.
So I think in the ground state is a superfluid.
It's a superfluid. Yeah, it's a superfluid.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if JXY1 is anti-ferromagnetic. So in the perturbative regime.
Right. It's a superfluid. It's a superfluid.
So that means in the
the
origin.
Right. That's how the physics of deconfined predicality comes into play. Yeah, I will come to that later. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm confused with this connection between Kairos spin liquid and U1 SPT.
Yeah.
Isn't this U1 SPT bosonic integer quantum hole, it's non-chiral, but Kairos spin liquid is chiral, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. So
how they can connect?
Yeah, the SPT phase is non-chiral in the sense that you have one charge mode and one surface spin mode, if you like. And once you gauge it, actually you somehow get one edge mode, because you gauge one symmetry, right? And then this edge mode is, one edge mode is removed. So the other way to put this is, okay, the U1 SPT phase is non-chiral, but the U1 symmetry is implemented chirally, right? Now you gauge one, yeah.
But this chirality actually is a physical, thermal Hall conductance. Gauging cannot change the thermal.
I think you can. By gating, you even change the Hilbert space.
Yeah, but it certainly depends on how you how the gauge field, like what the its gauge part, the gauge field, what phase it forms. But naively, I would say it's a Maxwell phase, right? It's just a Maxwell theory, so there shouldn't be any.
It's transaminous theory.
Yeah, it's transaminous.
Oh, it's transaminous.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So. Now,
it's not a simple gauging, right? You also had to have some non-trivial interaction between the gauge view.
But you generally generate such a transaminous term because you have the USPT phase realized. Yeah, maybe we can discuss later. Yeah.
Can you say again? At kappa equal zero, one of the phases is this bosonic hole insulator.
Yeah, right.
And the other phase is a superfluid.
It's a superfluid. Yeah.
But then That phase, if you gauge, you
just get the XY magnetic order. Yeah, I will come to that later. Yeah, it's more complicated than the Carroll-Spin liquid phase.
So in the bare spin model, this term isn't there, right? So this is, you're arguing that it's showing as positive because that's how it would show up in the third order perturbation theory.
Yeah, right.
But as you sort of flow away from that limit, is it clear that it has to be generated with that same sign?
Oh, that's a good point. So you can also do the game like this. You can put arbitrary flux in the system and ask, once you froze it, which one gives you the lowest energy? And we find that the pi flux actually gives the lowest energy. Yeah. So we have two reasons to choose a pi flux at this zero gauge fluctuation limit. Yeah. Okay. Now at this zero gauge fluctuation law, we get the other model that I just replace this dynamic gauge field with some background flux, which gives me pi in each hexagon black weight. Again, we can use numerical simulations like DMRG. We find that once I have finite this four-body interactions, that original that comes from the second and third neighbor interactions in the original Kagome lattice, Kagome model, that I will have a phase that spontaneously breaks time reversal symmetry. And it is actually a U1SPD phase. For example, we can measure the Hall conductance, which gives us exactly 2. So this is how the U1SPD phase, why we confirm that it is a U1SPD phase. Now, I think it's quite clear that I have a U1SPD phase realized, and I weakly gauge the system by recovering the gauge fluctuations, I will get the chiral spin liquid phase. So this is the general structure of the phase diagram on this side. Now let's turn to the more interesting and complicated situations for this Kagome spin liquid. As many of you have already asked, here what I have is actually a superfluid phase. And this superfluid phase actually have 2 Higgs mode because I have 2 U1 symmetry once I froze the gauge fluctuation. And once I gauge it, I just gapped 1 Higgs, 1 ghost mode, and meanwhile the gauge field is Higgs. I get a superfluid phase with 1 ghost mode. That's nothing but the XY magnetic order. It's not a spin liquid phase. So then, as we know, we have a spin liquid phase here. So the reason is because I have gauge fluctuation, and the gauge fluctuation finally disordered the superfluid phase into a spin liquid phase. But yeah, that's one way that we can try to understand the Kagome spin liquid phase. But actually, it turns out that we can still understand the Kagome spin liquid phase at the zero gauge fluctuation line. There's actually something special happening here that I might have an exotic phase transition between the superfluid to the U1SPD phase. That is some sort of deconfined phase transition. And once I turn on the gauge fluctuation at this deconfined critical point, I will actually extend the critical point into a critical phase. That's the general scenario for this Kagome spin liquid phase. It is some sort of gauged deconfined critical point. Yeah, that's really exotic scenario, and so actually I have this for a very long time, but my collaborators really think me crazy to have such theory, because you know gauge field usually is the enemy of a spin liquid phase. It will cause the confinement. But in this scenario, the gauge field is the friend of the spin liquid phase, without which I just have superfluid or some special fine-tuned critical point. Okay. And finally, we actually get a field theory to describe the whole phase diagram. Okay. Now, the starting point is that, again, we can begin with this zero gauge fluctuation line.
And what we need to deal with is that a super free phase, a USBD phase with spontaneous time reversal symmetry breaking, and a deconfined critical point between them. Okay. Yeah.
What's the relation between USBD and chaos iniquity, particularly for this first time around?
Yeah, so if you turn on finite, infinitesimal gauge fluctuations,
uh-huh.
you will turn this USBD phase into a chaos iniquity. That's more or less like the relation between superfluid and Higgs phase. Yeah. Okay. So let's begin with this zero gauge fluctuation line. And we can actually write a field theory to describe this superfluid, the USBD, and their transition. So the general structure of this field theory is that I have two copies of QD3, and each copy has two flavors. For expert, I would say actually for each copy, this theory has the same structure as the surface state of 3D bosonic topological insulator. And in some sense, each copy has an anomaly, but I put them together, it's anomaly free. And also, it has a very interesting relation between the vortex duality of Dirac fermions like Max did. Okay, now I won't really go to those details, but and besides those F and G are Dirac fermions, which are the vortex of the pseudospin. And the pseudospin is that I have, remember that I have two A and B bosons, and they carry charge, and A carries pseudospin up, B carries pseudospin down. Okay, and I also have a bosonic field, which is time reversal odd, coupled with those Dirac fermions. And once they acquire a finite value, I generate a mass term for those Dirac fermions. That's how I get USBD phase. And the super Fourier phase correspond to lambda is the bosonic field phi is gapped, but it's flavor 2 QD3, so it's not stable to something like chirosymmetry breaking. And finally, that's how we get the super Fourier phase. Okay, that's considered the procedure that we gauge this theory. And as I explained, the USBT is gauged to a chiral superliquid, the superfluid is gauged to the other superfluid phase. But the particular point is that for the deconfined critical point, after this gauging, actually I will log this two gauge field AF to AG. That's actually I'm converting a flavor 2 QD3 into a flavor 4 QD3. That's the exact what we have for U1 Dirac spin liquid phase. So now so my answer to the Kagome spin liquid is that it is a Dirac spin liquid phase. Yeah. Yeah, here or I gauge this AS. So yes, so then actually I'm locking AF to AG, right?
And A charge is the physical global symmetry of the spin model.
AC is the physical U1 symmetry, right? And here, because there's a spin on, so I put a factor 2 here. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, so that's the exact same theory as what you have for Dirac spin liquid.
Is there some symmetry relating F and G or not?
Sorry?
F and G, are they related by some symmetry?
Yeah, they are related by the time reversal symmetry. Yeah. So now our answer is that it is a Dirac spin liquid phase, but actually probably we have more interest in physics in such Dirac spin liquid phase. One important possibility is that this Dirac spin liquid theory might have a dual partner in which I have some vortex like Dirac fermions coupled with the emergent gauge field. Okay, and this is actually quite obvious in our original theory. So, yeah, this theory is some sort of self dual in the sense that you can exchange this AC to AS. And if you gauge the dual part, you will get exactly the second theory in which I have some vortex-like direct fermions. Okay, this interesting possibility might give us some idea about how to measure the direct, how to detect the direct, the spin nuclear phase realized in Kagome antiferromagnets. Okay, and now let me try to summarize. So we studied the spin liquid phase on Kagome lattice, and besides the Kagome spin liquid, we discover a chiral spin liquid phase. And then we find that actually the spin liquid phase on Kagome lattice is independent of the XXZ anisotropy. And at the for the chiral, and in the Z axis limit, we can do an exact lattice gauge study for the spin liquid phase, and we show that we show that the chiral spin liquid is actually a gauged USPD phase. And the more interesting point is that we propose that Kagome spin liquid is some sort of gauged deconfined critical point. Okay, now at last, this, let me thank my collaborators and thanks for your attention.
I don't understand this alpha diagram. So
here?
I mean, yeah, right. So in the x-axis, along the x-axis.
Yeah.
So shouldn't there be some superfluid phase near the origin?
Well, on this side, if you have ferromagnetic XY interaction, you have a superfluid phase.
I see. With interferromagnetic XY, you don't have...
We don't have, right.
And you don't have a confinement phase either.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if you add some other interactions, you probably can have superfluid or some valence bond that corresponds to confinement phase. You can. But in this phase diagram,
you're saying the Kagome Z2 spin liquid is a robust.
It's not state two. But I mean, it's not clear.
Okay.
Yeah, Kagome spin liquid.
Kagome spin liquid is robust to infinitesimal amount of J1XY.
Right. You mean? You can change the X anisotropy to the from the extreme Z axis to the pure Z plane.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you know this paper. You know, these people simulate Kagome lattice, Heisenberg mode, maybe Heisenberg with the inner magnetic field. They observe multiple magnetization plateaus.
Yeah, I know that paper.
So if I put your Kagome lattice spin liquid in a magnetic field, will you expect a plateau or some fine, you know?
There's
it's
no
not,
plateau because it's gapless.
So then it will be inconsistent with the previous numerical result that see a plateau.
Well, for.
No, it's not. They have
a very small plateau, right.
Neural magnetization plateau and finite magnetization plateau.
Yeah, but you know, for numerics, you always need to be careful about the fine size effect or some other bias. Yeah. Yes?
Can you go back to the Aldrin, please? This one? I guess the top line is the QG3 with four flavors, is that?
Yeah, right, that's right.
Actually, I can make the name of the one, but...
this one?
The one where... Sure. AF and AG are locked, right? This is...
They are all dynamical gauge field.
But they become locked.
They become locked if you gauge it.
If you gauge it, which is the physical system you want to
design, right, exactly.
So then it's non-compact. QED3, right? Like monopoles of little a are forbidden? And sometimes little
in some sense. But you probably with multiple monopoles.
Or do they cancel out? The two transcendence terms?
Right.
Do they cancel out?
But you can see that AF minus AG cannot have monopoles, but AF plus AG can have. Because the conservation of SC as just a prohibit one.
AI becomes the dynamic filter?
Right.
So the John Simons terms are gone. Is it correct? At the end of the day, when you set AF equal AG, the John Simons term is gone.
Right.
I see.
Yeah.
So there are actually instantons are another.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's four two component derived.
Yes.
I guess the critical number is thought to be around 7 or 8.
Right. The upper bound of the critical number. Right.
Saying it could be smaller.
Yeah, it could be smaller. Yeah.
So you started the talk saying that Yang, Hughes, and White established that the government.
Yeah.
They established that it was spin-liquid.
Yeah.
But their evidence that it was a spin-liquid, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that it was based on evidence that it was a gap spin-liquid, meaning that...
They find quite a large gap.
I don't know, but the evidence they provide,
it's
not for a spin-liquid, it's for a gap spin-liquid.
Well, I would say the evidence they provide first prove it is a spin-liquid phase because you don't have any symmetry breaking. And
besides, they
find a large gap.
But the way they prove that there is no symmetry breaking
right.
is by seeing how the expectation values quickly go to zero.
Yes.
Exponentially.
Yes.
Right? So what I'm saying is that if it's an algebraic spin-liquid, double spin liquid, then you are also providing. I mean, it's an incompatible evidence with the previous one.
Right. The point is, you need to really analyze the numerical study more carefully. Yeah, for Dirac's, I can show you a little bit about. This actually. So if you have a Dirac spin liquid phase, you know you just have few points which are gapless. And now you do numerical simulations on finite system size. It is possible that, so then, for example, in DMRG simulations, what we are simulating is a cylinder and whose circumference is quite small. As a result, the momentum along this direction of circumference is seriously discretized. As a result, it's possible that those discretized momentum does not hit the Dirac point. Yeah, that's why you get a gapped phase for a gapped signature for a Dirac spin-liquid phase. So now, have this in mind, we can actually tune the discretized momentum by twisting the boundary condition. And this is our numerical data. You can find that if I'm just staying at the normal boundary condition, I really get a large spin gap, which is almost the same as what people had before. But once I change the boundary conditions, I observe a very significant drop of the spin gap, as you can see here. That's how we,
Can you go back to your theory again?
Yeah.
Sorry.
This one?
Yeah. So I guess there is, for a small number of flavors, there is some idea of how kind of symmetry breaking takes place, what the pattern is.
Yeah.
So if that pattern of symmetry breaking happens here, what
you get
of,
a superfluid.
You get a
superfluid. Yes. That's why the superfluid is in the here. Yeah. That's why this theory actually can describe a superfluid phase.
Can you
go?
So I guess the pattern of symmetry breaking is usually, you get a mass for, two of the fermions get a positive mass and two get a negative mass.
Yes.
So why does that give you a...
Well, it's not, so for each copies, I have one positive, one negative. That's the chiral symmetry breaking, right? Because, without gauging the theory, it's just the two copies of QD3, and each copy has flavor 2, which you can have a chiral symmetry breaking in the sense that each flavor take object mass, right? And then if you integrate those gapped fermions, you would generate a mutual transimmons between this AF and this AC. Am I clear? That's the superfluid phase. That. So. So, am I clear?
Yeah.
So people using variation Monte Carlo find this critical spin liquid.
Yes.
Is it related at all with what you found?
Well, at this moment, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Yeah. The point is, in the variation Monte Carlo, the system that people are studying are SUV invariant, but here we actually at a very different limit. It's possible that they are connected if I tune the XXM social P. But yeah, so far we don't know.
And if you instead you chose like, I don't know, mass plus for the top line and mass minus for the bottom line,
yeah,
you would get some sort of VDS state. Or?
Right, exactly.
So you don't actually know which way it goes, right? It could go either way.
Right. That's possible. Yeah. It depends some microscopics. It's like if you add other interactions, of course you can drive the Kagome spin liquid or Cairo spin liquid into a VBS state that corresponds to the physics that you just said.
No, what I'm saying, just with, you know, with SU, it's like SU4 being broken to SU2 cross SU2, depending on like the pattern, you could, I guess you could get, you know, you don't actually know what the pattern is.
Right. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So if there are no more questions, then let's thank the speaker again.
Thanks.